While you're turning there, I want to say what a tremendous event we had Friday night and Saturday with our Art of Marriage event. We had a little over 100 here on Friday night and about 70 here during the day on Saturday. And I'm excited to see some of those guests that were here yesterday back with us today for our service. And we're so thankful to have each of our guests here today. God bless you and thank you for coming. And we appreciate you so much. Let's give our guests a great round of applause right now. We appreciate each of you. Amen. As a matter of fact, to our first-time guests, we have a brief reception prepared for you after service today. And our pastoral team would just like to take a moment to greet you personally. There's some light refreshments prepared for you through those double doors in the back. If you'll just step right over there afterwards, we just want to meet you and say hello. Thank you for joining us at United today. Can everyone say amen to our guests being here? Praise God. Tonight is going to be a special service. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't want to miss tonight. Tonight in service, and I know that this wasn't announced in advance, but tonight in service, we are hosting and who will be speaking to us, an intercultural missionary to Vietnamese immigrants here in North America. His name is Brother John Wolfram, and he'll be speaking for us tonight. Brother Wolfram is a former Navy SEAL. He received the Purple Heart for being wounded in combat during the Vietnam conflict. He was also the first frogman in the water when they rescued the Apollo 11 astronauts, Buzz Armstrong and Michael Collins, and the third astronaut there. His name is slipping me right now, but he has just a great history and a great testimony. Right now, he's serving in our fellowship, reaching Vietnamese immigrants who have come to our country. He's going to be with us tonight speaking, and I want to encourage you, come and be here tonight. If you're a guest for the first time, you do not want to miss coming and being here for this service tonight. Can you say amen? I believe God is going to speak in a mighty way, and I'm looking forward to that. Are you looking forward to that? Praise the Lord. And just want to say to our men, we're looking forward to our men's camping trip this weekend. And I know God's going to bless us there. Looking forward to having some good fellowship with the men and some of the younger men and boys of our church. It's going to be a great time. Can we all say amen? I'm going to be speaking this morning very directly. And I'm praying that you would allow God to open up your heart. That this would not be just a sermon. Now, I preach every Sunday. But I know how easy it is, even when I'm attending services of my own in different various places, to let that service become just another sermon. And I don't know how well I'm going to preach today, but I do know what God wants to say here this morning. And I'm confident in what God wants to communicate to this church. And I am praying that it will not be just words. So I need you to pray with me as we look at 2 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. A very different text and line of preaching for a Sunday morning, but this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurses, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was hid with her in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Jehosheba stole this child and hid him in her bedchamber. And then she hid him in the house of the Lord for 6 years, while the wicked Queen Athaliah did reign. I'm going to need some help preaching to you today. And those I'm asking to help me are coming right now. Some of them already know, some don't know. But I want my kids to come. Elijah and Logan, I want you to sit over there by Brother Corum. And I've got some people bringing some chairs, and I want Juliana, Ari, and Haley, and Shauna, and I want all these older kids from the Sunday school to come right up. Josh and Ari Peasley. Ty Shambly's out here somewhere. Put a couple right here. Put a couple over there. Brother Corm is the principal, and he's going to help keep these students in line. But these young people are going to help me preach this morning. I got a few more chairs if there's a couple other students that want to come and sit up here. If you can handle preaching for an hour and a half, you can come sit up here. Nobody laughed at that joke. Malachi, come on up here. You're going to be able to handle Pastor Brock preaching for a little while? All right. Won't you sit over there by Ty and your GP? These students today that are sitting here are representative of the at least 70 on average students that we have here in our church that we minister to every week. Now, they don't have anything that they have to do today but look at you. That's all I need you to do. Can y'all do that? I want you guys to help these two girls right here. And Josh, move them over here so they don't have to stand behind me the whole time. Y'all step up. They're going to help you with these chairs. But for all of you students up here, while I'm preaching today, I want you to preach with me. Is that all right? Can y'all say amen? Let me hear y'all say amen. Very good. Y'all made more noise right there than some of these folks have made all service. Good job. At least I know I got these with me. But other than that, all I need you to do is look at them. Okay? Just every once in a while, I want you just to scan and look from the left all the way to the right. And just look at them. That's all I need you to do. Are y'all with me? Can y'all help me with that? All right. I'm not going to cloak my direction this morning. I'm not going to be subtle. I'm not going to sneak up on you. I'm just going to tell you right from the get-go. I'm preaching to parents today. I'm preaching to grandparents this morning. I'm preaching to aunts and uncles right now. I'm preaching to those of you who are just been married and about to get married and thinking about having kids. I'm preaching to you today. And I need you to preach to me as I preach this message, the hiding place. I want to preach to you about the hiding place this morning. Will you begin to pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, I need you so desperately. Lord, I am not equal to the task today. I do not even deserve to be standing here preaching this message. But God, I need your help to do what I'm not able to do. I pray that you would speak right now to our church. Speak to those that are here and those who are not here. Lord, even as Sister Carter this morning is videoing this service, I pray, God, that your word would fall into the hands of those that did not make this service a priority today, but they would hear it later. They would see it later. Speak to every heart right now. Speak to every member of our church this morning. Speak to us as we look towards you with our families in mind. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. I need your anointing. Clap your hands one more time as you're being seated today. Thank you, son. When I was a child growing up, when I was Joshua's age, There was no other game that I enjoyed playing more than hide and go seek. I want to tell you, I was a master at hide and go seek. My brother Court and I, Kyle was still just a little old baby, but we were ninjas at hide and seek. And we lived right here on this property through those years. And we'd have different events where families would be coming together for meetings and things like this, and all the kids would go outside and play. That was a different world then. That was a different world where your mom and dad just said, go out. We don't do that anymore. And as much as I would like for it to be that way, I don't suggest you do that anymore either. There's a lot of junk out there. But in those days growing up, we spent more time outside than we did in. And we had hide and go seek was a favorite game. And I can't tell you how many times in my life I played hide and go seek. Absolute hands down favorite game. For a long time, Brother John sitting right there, this is his boy right here. Him and his brother, their family lived on the property too. And just about every other day, we'd play hide and go seek right here. We'd run these woods ragged. We'd be gone almost the whole daytime. We'd come home at night, and my mother would and their mother would have to just clean them up because we got into so much mischief and had so much fun playing hide and go seek. We'd build forts, we'd do all kind of stuff. It was amazing. We'd dig holes 6 feet deep, people found it, we'd have been in all kind of trouble. But we played hide and go seek. We had another family that pastored in Clinton, and they had two boys the same age as me and Corton. They would come over, and while our parents were fellowshipping there in the house, we would literally stay outside the entire time and we'd play hide and go seek with Jeremy and Brett Cecil. I remember when I was probably 13 years old or so, maybe a little younger than that, there was a bunch of pine trees right out here in the front. There was a house sitting over there that we lived in. And my dad and the church had all those pine trees cut down. And it was probably 12 or 13 trees right there in the middle of what is now the parking lot where the ministry parking is down there and the visitors' guest parking is. And all those trees came down and they cut the trunks of those trees off and the logging company took them out. But all those branches from those 80, 90, 100-foot pine trees were all there. And they were just all laying out in that yard. And they were just crisscrossed over each other, and it was just a big jungle. And my dad had the idea for us boys and him to go outside and play hide-and-go-seek in the front yard in all of those pine tree branches. And I'm going to tell you, I'll never forget it to the day I die. It was one of the most fun nights. We literally played hide-and-go-seek with our dad for 3 hours. It was getting later and later and darker, and we just kept playing because it was so much fun there to play hide-and-go-seek, and I'll never forget that. We had so much fun that we did it again the second night, and we did it just about every other night until they came and took those branches away because we loved playing that game that had to do with hiding. It was a game for fun. It was a game for entertainment. But what I want to preach to you today is that hiding can be a much more serious matter. And that for you and I who are raising children, and those of you that have nieces and nephews in your life and children that are coming, hiding is an activity that you need to learn how to do. Many of you have read the famous autobiography written by Corey Ten Boom. It's called The Hiding Place. And in that story, her autobiography, a family in Holland in the city of Amsterdam, they decided and determined that they were going to save as many of the Jews who were fleeing the Holocaust and protect them as possible. The Nazis and the Gestapo were chasing them down, carting them off to death camps throughout various places, and they made a decision to try to save some, as many as they could, and try to protect them. So they decided to try to hide them in their home, and members of the resistance party came to their home, which was actually two houses joined together, and the architects among them saw that there was an opportunity there in their home. And in those places where those homes were joined together, they saw something within the infrastructure that could be a help. And there in that home, in the upper levels of it, they literally built an undetectable room. It was a room that was not visible to the naked eye. It was a room, a hiding place, as they called it, within the home. They painted the walls and made them look aged. They took great care so that when someone would come into that room and saw those false walls there, that they would not have a clue that those walls held behind it a hiding place. And the idea for them and what they would do is that the Jews who would spend time temporarily in their home, they would have all their belongings together at every moment. And when the Nazis would come, that imminent time, the Nazis would come and raid the house. All they had to do was grab their belongings, rush upstairs, go to that particular room, and get through that secret panel into the hiding place and pull the panel shut behind them, and they would not be found out. This happened many times and on many occasions. And when that fateful day would come, that the Nazis would come there, they suspected something was happening. They knew something was being hidden there. They understood, they felt that something was being protected there. And so on one particular time, the Nazis stayed for an extended season. And they were going through that house and they were knocking on doors and they were knocking on walls and they were poking holes in the plaster and they were looking for hidden places. They were looking for any trace of those that were hidden, those that were being protected, those that were hidden behind the false walls of the hiding place in that home. And I can promise you today that for anybody that ever had the occasion to get into that hiding place, I can promise you that nobody complained about how small the room was. I can speak to you with confidence and tell you, nobody complained about the odor. Nobody complained about the restriction. Nobody complained about the amount of space. Nobody had a negative word to say about being stuck up there in that quiet, closeted off little hiding place, because that hiding place was protecting them from death. If that hiding place had been discovered, there was going to be a group of Nazi soldiers that were going to put them on a train and take them immediately to a death camp and take their very lives. I'm telling you, nobody complained about the requirements of staying in that hiding place. They didn't complain about how long they had to stay in there. They didn't complain about how much time it took to stay in there, because to be discovered was to die. I'm speaking to you today that that hiding place was not a simple game of hide and go seek. There was no laughter when they were found. There was no teasing and no fun, no wrestling to the ground of glee and excitement when they were found in the hiding place. Because when that hiding place was discovered, it meant a trip to the death camp. And I've come to speak to you this morning, and I'm going to tell you today unequivocally, if any of these children that are behind me on this platform, and any of those that are here in the pews, if they're ever going to have God moments at an altar, if they're going to have ministries that they're going to be a part of and that they might even start, if they're ever going to be led by the anointing of God, if they're going to raise their future families in the truth, it's going to be because somebody, perhaps even here today, some parent, some mother, some father, some grandfather found the time and the reason to make a hiding place for them. If they're going to make it, if they're going to live for God, if the world is not going to destroy them, they're going to have to be hid from the world. They're going to have to be hid from the enemy. They're going to have to be hid from the things of the world. These kids are going to have a chance for a future that includes God, and a chance for a future that ends up them walking on streets of gold in the embrace of Jesus Christ. It's going to be because somebody hid them, because somebody built a hiding place for them, because somebody drew them in to a place in God that protected them from the world, from the things of the world, from the spirit of the world, from the music of the world, the entertainment of the world, the sin of the world. We read in Luke 15 about lost things. We have the story of the lost sheep, and we have the story of the lost coin, and we have the story of the lost boy. And we're thankful that all those stories ended up good. They all found them. They found the sheep, they found the coin, they found the boy. Praise God for that. But there's something that bothers me about that coin situation, because that lost sheep, it was lost out somewhere in the pasture somewhere.
When they found that sheep, he must have been found somewhere shuddering by the edge of a cliff or somewhere all cold and damp and so afraid of what the situation was that he got lost while being out there. And that lost boy, he found himself coming to back to his frame of mind in a hog pen somewhere. He was out there in the world when he was lost. He was out there in a far country when he got lost and he lost all his living. But the problem that I see about this lost coin and the thing that bothers me about the lost coin was the coin was lost in the house. The coin wasn't lost out in the wilderness and the coin wasn't lost in a far country. The coin was lost right there in the house. She didn't have to look somewhere else. The coin was lost. The coin couldn't be found. The coin was missing, but the coin was inside the house. And I've come to preach to us today that if we think for a moment that just bringing them to church every other Sunday is enough, we are wrong. They can be just as lost right in here as they can be lost out there. And there needs to be a hiding place. Place that is built for every one of these students, every one of these young adults, every one of these teenagers that our church ministers to. We've got to have a hiding place for their soul. It's not enough just for us to go through the motions. It's not enough just for us to cast a little hand in the air a couple Sundays a month. We've got to build a hiding place for them. We've got to protect them with prayer and the Word of God and living for God. They have got to have a hiding place. You see, the devil sees these kids, every one of them here and those out with you. He sees them, and I want to tell you what he sees. Because when he looks at these kids behind me on this platform, what he sees is fornicators, and what he sees is future pornography addicts and future drug addicts and future emotional upside down situation. He sees all kind of junk and the despicableness of moral corruption of this world. But that's not what God sees, and that better not be what you and I see. The devil sees no future for them. The devil sees a destruction for them. The devil sees sin for their lives. The devil sees them morally corrupt. But we need to see what God sees in them. And we need to see them as a next generation for our church. We need to see them as a next generation for our community. And we need to see preachers and Sunday school teachers and missionaries and Bible study teachers. We need to see men and women of God, and we need to lay hands on them and pray for them every chance we get. We need to build a hiding place for these kids today. We need to build a hiding place that will protect them from the enemy. Some people are pretty easygoing until their kids get messed with. Some people will take a lot of stuff, won't they, Brother Potts? People will back right on up from a lot of conflict. Then you mess with their kids. Then something comes out of them. It's like a wildcat explodes. You can push me. You can talk about me. You can spit in my face. You can do anything you want to, and I'll take it. But Brother Allen, lay a hand on our kids, and what we do? If we ain't got a gun or a knife to reach for, it's fist in the ground. We're going to go to it. Somebody is going to hear about it. Oh, y'all looking at me like I'm acting funny up here. You let some teacher even say a cross word to your kid at school and you're meeting with the principal the next day. Something bucks up in you. Something gets wild. You don't want nobody talking bad about them. You don't want to hear about no bullies in their class. You don't want to hear about nobody talking about the way they dress and what kind of lunch they got. You get mad. You want to fight and you want to get right up in the middle of all that. But I want to know, why is it that your easygoing self will allow yourself to get so wild and so upset when somebody messes with your kids? Somebody tries to tell them what to do. Someone tries to get them to do right. Someone tries to discipline them, and you're going to get mad as fire. But the devil can do anything he wants spiritually, and you're going to just look the other way. You're not going to get mad. You're going to let them watch anything. You let them go anybody's house. You're going to let them do anything. You can let them talk about, let them say any kind of word. Oh, come on, somebody. You'll let Hollywood lead them. You'll let the music industry lead them. They know more about hip-hop than they know about David and Goliath. And whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? That they know the top 20 songs. Whose fault is that? Somebody ain't making a hiding place. Somebody forgot to build a little room. Somebody forgot that we've got to hide our children from the enemy.
I've come to tell somebody, if you've ever gotten mad at a teacher, if you've ever gotten mad at a neighbor, if you've ever gotten mad at a friend or a family member for slighting your child, you ought to be mad at the devil. You ought to be fighting mad. You ought to be spitting mad. You ought to be so mad that you'll do things different than you've done before today. You ought to be so mad that everybody knows it. You ought to be so mad that you'll pray, that you'll fight, that you'll put your nose in the Bible and you'll find out what it takes to build a hiding place for your child. You ought to get, some of y'all ain't even mad enough right now. You need to get angry with what the world is trying to do to your future, what the world is trying to do to your legacy, what the world is trying to do to your family name. You need to stop sitting there with your arms crossed and stand up and say, I am going to fight if it's the last thing that I do. I didn't come to church to be quiet today. I didn't come to church to hear some preacher tickle my ear and tell me how blessed and how favored I was going to be. I didn't come here today to be feeling better about myself. I need to do something better about myself. I need to do something for these kids. I need to do something for my kids. Brother Bland, little Zoe is just a week old right now, but I'm telling you right now, you got a responsibility to build a hiding place for that baby girl. You and me, we got a job to do. You and Nikila and this church, we got a job to do, because this baby that he's got at home isn't even 7 days old yet. It's just a little baby girl. She's so beautiful. She's so pretty. But we got to know today, in the first week of her life, she's got to have a hiding place. She's got to have a place of protection. This big old 6 foot plus tall guy has got to protect her soul. We got couples here this morning that just got married in the last couple of years. We got two right here going to get married in 2 weeks. If there's going to be children that come into that equation, you've got to build them a hiding place. And let me just speak to you for a moment. If you want to have kids, let me just tell you, don't wait until they're 5 years old to start building a hiding place. Why don't you start right now, before she's even conceived, before he's even born? Why don't you start right now building a hiding place for those kids? Because I'm telling you, the enemy that's coming for them. You're not mistreating your kids by making them come to church. They're not being cheated. They're not being kept from something. They're not being underserved because part of their Sunday gets spent in the house of God. They're not going to lose out on their GPA because you brought them to Wednesday night church. It might have cut into their TV time, but it didn't cut into homework time, if you're going to tell the truth. They're not going to miss a chance to get into college because they come to youth service on Wednesday night. I've come to preach to you today that our children are not being cheated at any moment that they spend in the presence of God, in the house of God, around the people of God. Whoever's telling you that is a liar. Whoever's telling you that is manipulating your spirit. Whoever is feeding you that garbage is lying to your soul, and they're being used by the devil, the enemy of your soul, to keep you from building a hiding place for their spirit. Well, there's just so many things that our kids can't do in the church. There are just so many things. It's so hard. It's so hard to raise kids around this church at United. They got so many rules over there. There's so many things they can't do. Well, you're right. You're absolutely correct. There are a lot of things they can't do. They can't have babies out of wedlock. They can't drink alcohol. They can't look at pornography. They can't have a drug addiction. They can't have an abortion. Oh yeah, there's a lot of things they can't do if they come to church. There's a lot of things they can't do if you and I work together. There's a lot of things they can't do. You know what? It's all right. There's a lot of things they can't do, but I'm so glad that they're here and they can't do the things that the world is doing. That we're telling them that they can't do it. That we're teaching them they can't do it. The devil's trying to make you feel guilty for being faithful to the house of God.
The devil's trying to lay it on your heart. You spend so much time with the church, you don't spend no time with the family. That's a lie. Church time is family time. People trying to make you feel like you're robbing them of their freedom and their future, trying to feel guilty for planting your family in a church. You need to rise up against that spirit and fight that spirit, because that spirit's not of God. That spirit is of the devil. That spirit is the enemy. That spirit is something rising up in you and saying, hey, give up, be lazy and procrastinate. Don't build a hiding place for those kids. That's what that spirit is trying to get accomplished in your life. That spirit wants the Nazi soldiers of the enemy to weigh them down and pull them out and pull them out of every place in your home and in this church and see them lost and undone and upside down in this world that we're in today. You know, there's some things that aren't worth fighting for, Uncle Mike. A lot of my opinions aren't worth fighting for. I learned that the hard way. A lot of my preferences, a lot of the little way that I want things done, there's a lot of those things that just aren't worth it. They're not worth fighting for. But if there's anything that's worth fighting for, it's their future. If there's anything that's worth fighting for, it's them. You thinking about giving up on your marriage? I'm going to tell you, it's worth fighting for because they deserve it. You and your spouse thinking about going separate ways because y'all not happy? If there's anything worth fighting for, it's the future right here. It's these children. They are worth fighting for. Can someone shout amen right now? I've come to preach to you today that if you want them to love the hiding place, if you want them to love the house of God, if you want them to love worship, if you want them to love holiness, if you want them to love giving, if you want them to love the Word of God, then all they need to hear from you is how much you love the church, how much you love the Word of God, how much you appreciate worship, how glad you are that we get to go to church on Sunday. That's what they need to hear from you. They don't need to hear no more of that little mealy mouth complaining that you do on the side. They don't need to hear no more that I wish we didn't have to go to church three times a week. It takes so much time. It takes so long on Wednesday night. You've got to get all the way over there and maybe the pastor go a little bit long when he's teaching. They don't need to hear no more of that kind of talk. They need to hear, I love the Word of God. I'm so glad I heard that tonight. I love the way we feel when people begin to worship in the house of God. I'm so glad that God blessed us with enough money to be able to give something in the offering plate. I'm so glad that we're a tithing family because we're being obedient to God. That's the message they need to hear. They don't need to hear no more criticism. They don't need to hear no more complaining. They don't need to hear anything like that because it is tearing down the hiding place. I got a feeling that somebody wasn't ready for this kind of preaching today. So let me just take you back to 2 Kings. So here we are. This king has dead. He's died. He got a bunch of kids. But here is the king, and the king has died. And his mother, the former queen, she realizes an opportunity to usurp the plant. And so his mother, Athaliah, she realizes now that her son is dead, if she can kill all of his royal seed, then the leadership and authority of the kingdom will not go back down, but it'll roll back up to her. And if there's no other royalty alive, then she can have the throne. So she puts in place a plan to kill all of the royal seed. Now, this is what the Bible says. She's going to kill them all. The first thing I learned from this story today is that the enemy is utterly ruthless. She would have slit the throat of her grandson with no remorse. She would not have hesitated a moment to take the lives of any of those children with her own hands. And what I learned from this is you can't negotiate with a spirit like that. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. We got these ideas of the devil like he's a little guy walking around in a red pantsuit with a pitchfork, and we got him all romanticized. That's not what the devil is. He's a spirit you can't negotiate with. He's a spirit that's got to be fought. He's a spirit that's got to be killed. He is something that's got to be destroyed, and you cannot allow him to have a moment in your life. If you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile, and he's going to fill all of your life with all kind of sin and carnality and all kinds of pollution. What you need to do when it comes to this enemy is not try to negotiate, but you need to take out your sword and begin to fight. You need to stand and fight. Stand therefore. Can somebody shout amen today? If I was to ask you in this room today what your feelings were towards somebody abusing a child, you'd get upset. Oh, I'll tell you what I'd say. Don't let me end up on the jury. No, no. We can hang them right there in the courtroom. No need to even go any further. We can run wires right in there. Somebody abused a child. Somebody hurt a child. You hear all these stories in the news, leaving kids in the garbage and people burning out cigarettes on their kids' body. All this kind of foolishness is going on. These hurtful things are happening to these kids. You and I both, we lose all our Holy Ghost. We're ready to let vengeance reign, anger, and all of that. But you know what we need to do? We need to look at these kids right up here on this platform and look at those out in that pew and realize that the devil is trying to do worse to them than that. For some kids, it'd be better to have been burnt with a cigarette put out on their skin than to go through the hell that the devil is going to take them through if somebody don't build a hiding place for them. I'm telling you, what the enemy wants to do to our kids is utterly ruthless, and it's horrible, and it's carnal. He wants to turn them inside out and turn them upside down. I'm preaching to us today that what the devil wants to do is destroy them. It didn't matter. He was 5 years old. It didn't matter that he was just a child. It didn't matter that he was innocent. None of that mattered to her. And none of it matters to the devil. He don't care that my daughter's just 8 years old. He don't care that Malachi's in his first year of school, just still learning how to read. He don't care about none of that. Oh, no. He don't care that they're Bible quizzers. He don't care about none of that. He wants to kill him. He wants to destroy him. He wants to see him completely and utterly undone. Our enemy is ruthless. Another thing I learned from this story today is that she didn't kill kids at random. Think about it. She didn't go kill all the kids in the kingdom. She just killed the ones that had that royal blood. She killed those kids that had potential. She killed those kids that was being raised up for a future. So she didn't kill everybody. She just killed the ones. What I'm preaching to you today is that there's all kind of families may not even endure what you might face because the enemy's going to handpick and select yours. You want to live for God? He's going to focus in. He's going to start zoning in because he can't kill everybody's kids, but he's wanting to get the ones that have potential to be soul winners, the ones that have potential to be missionaries, the ones that have potential to be life savers. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to you today that when you do something to help a child, when you do something to pray for a child, you're protecting something and you're preserving something. Can you hear what I'm saying today? When you pray for one of these children, you're protecting songs that hadn't even been written yet. When you pray for one of these kids up here, you're protecting a sermon that hadn't been preached yet. You're protecting a Sunday school class that don't have a teacher yet. You're protecting a home Bible study that hadn't been taught yet. When you pray for these kids, when you pray for your kids, when you pray for the kids of this church, you're protecting something that has not happened yet. Why am I the only one that's angry here today? Why am I the only one that's red in the face here this morning? Why is it that the world can get us so emotional and full of passion over sports and games and entertainment, but we can't get upset when it comes? We can't get riled up when it comes to our children. We can't get passionate. You're sitting there saying, I don't know why pastor's preaching this stuff on a Sunday morning. This is definitely Sunday night material. I've come to preach that sickness out of your soul. We need to put our children first. We need to build a hiding place, a hiding place, a hiding place. You can be mad at me later if you want to, but I'd rather you be mad and them on their way to heaven than you have your attitude felt better.
I'd rather you have to make an attitude adjustment and some children get closer to God. I'd rather you be upset with me for a Sunday and they spend an eternity in the hands of a loving, graceful God. I'd rather all of that happen than for a single one of them to be lost. So let me point this out to you. Queen Athaliah did not kill kids at random. But her sister didn't hide kids at random either. She didn't hide every kid that was out there. She hid the ones that were being sought out. When the queen was trying to kill the royal, she said, okay, we got to protect them. They got something in them. There's a future in them. There's a potential in them. There's royalty. There's something in the bloodline. There's something powerful in these kids right here. And the enemy wants to kill that one. So you know what? That's the one I got to save. In other words, when you convert and you come into the church, we come into the house of God, you become on the number one priority list for the enemy to take out your children. But on the vice versa, what we can also do is, since we know that the enemy is targeting church kids, we need to start focusing on church kids. We need to pray for them like never before. We need to teach them. We need to train them. We need to mentor them. We need to get behind our Sunday school teachers. That's our Sunday school director right there. She's running the aisle because she's with me today. I'm telling you, we need to get behind the people that teach them, the people that train them, the people that build them, the people that mentor them. The devil's focusing on this one, but I'm focused on this one too. The devil's trying to kill him, but I'm trying to save him. It's my job to build the hiding place. The devil wants to take her soul, but I want to save her soul. I want to protect her soul. The devil wants to steal, I'm going to pray. The devil wants to kill, we're going to cover him in the word of God. The devil wants to destroy her, look how pretty she is standing up here. The devil wants to kill her soul, but you know what? The church is going to rise up and we're going to protect her soul. If the devil thinks he's bad enough to come after our kids, he's about to wake up a sleeping giant here at United on Sunday morning, because somebody in here is going to fight. Somebody in here is going to pray. I believe there's somebody here right now, don't even have children, but you're going to fight for the future generation of this apostolic movement. You're going to fight. I've come to preach to you this morning that our church ministries to kids are more than just babysitting. Our Sunday school teachers are more than just glorified nose wipers. Our Sunday school teachers are more than just people that are volunteered to keep them occupied while they're at church. They're teaching them the Word of God. They're teaching them stories from the Bible. They're teaching them the doctrines of salvation. How many kids have we had baptized in the name of Jesus in the last 2 years? Because in Sunday school, they learned that you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you got to be filled. How many of these kids already have the Holy Ghost? Because in Sunday school, they learned that you got to be filled with the gift of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. It's time that we stand up and step up to the plate and get behind what God is doing. Third thing, I'm drawing to a close right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. The third thing I learned from this story is this. The hiding started at home. And here's where it's going to get tough for somebody right now. And here's where I'm going to even have to struggle a little bit today. The Bible says that Queen Athaliah's sister, before she hid him those 6 years in the church, she hid him in the bedchamber. That means she was hiding him at home before he got hid at church. The hiding process starts at home. The hiding process begins with a dad and a mom in the home. This isn't really what I come to preach today, but I felt it already. I'm going to say it again. If your marriage is in a struggle and you're considering turning around, going separate ways, you better recognize right now
that if you've got kids in that home, God has given you something that's worth more than your own happiness. It's worth more than your preferences. It's worth more than whether or not she rolls up the toothpaste on the end or just squeezes it. It's worth more than whether or not he left the toilet seat up. It's worth more than if the trash got taken out at the moment that you chose for it. I'm telling you, it's worth more than all of that. It's worth more than the hurts that are between you. It's worth more than that. Your future children, the generation that is rising up in your home, is worth more, and the hiding process has got to start at home. And you might have to get your marriage in better shape before you can hide your kids, but if that's what you got to do, then by all means, honey, let's do that. Let's do that. The best thing we could do to save our children in our home is have a strong marriage between spouses. Oh, come on now. Don't blame the church that your kid went haywire when you didn't hide him at home. Don't blame the church if your kids aren't sure how many gods there are and whose name to be baptized in and how to be baptized. Don't blame the church for that. You blame yourself for that. Don't blame the church because nobody's praying for your kids. Don't blame the church because they're saying words and they're doing things that you never thought they would do. Don't blame the church. Because the hiding place needs to be at home. We need to shuttle them from the hiding place of our home to the hiding place of our church and right back. They need to be hid in the presence of God. And that means that the presence of God doesn't only need to exist in God's house. It needs to exist in your home as well. It's unfair to expose our kids to carnality at home and expect this altar to clean them up at church. It's unfair to expose them to all kinds of moral corruption at home and expect the pulpit to preach it out of them. It's unfair to run down the church and run down the preacher and run down the things of God and the church family and expect them to have a good love for the family of God and the people of God and want to go to church. I'm going to tell you, you got to hide them at home and they'll love being hid at church. If they feel what they feel at home in the church as well, they're not going to mind going to church. If you do things right, and it's real simple, it's not nearly as hard as you and I would make it out to be, but if you just give it that little focus, you're going to find out that they look forward to going to church because there's more kids at church that make them feel comfortable about their life than there are kids in your neighborhood. I don't care if you got 500 kids in the neighborhood. If you're living right at home, they're going to feel right at church. If you're living for God at home, they're not going to be a stranger to you at church. If you're praying in the house, they're not going to be looking around at people when they start praying in church. Can somebody hear what I'm saying today? I'm preaching to us today that we got to hide our kids, but we got to hide them at home, and we got to hide them in the house of God. I want you to stand with me right now, and I could go on preaching, but I'm just not going to do it. Brother Kyle, I don't need you to come to the piano this morning. I want you and your wife, Lorraine, to come right down here in the front. And Sister McFall, I want you and your husband to come down here to the front. Sister Latoya is probably in the nursery with the little kids, and I'm not going to interrupt her right now. I want y'all to come right down here. Sister April is our Sunday school director. Her husband, Brother Macca. Micah was raised in this church. He's walking down that aisle right there. He's here right now because mom and dad did some hiding. This boy right here, he lived on this church for the first 10 years of his life in this park, in this area, right here on these grounds. He's only here today because our parents did some hiding at home. Because I'm just gonna give you a little revelation right now. This boy right here, my little brother, because of the fact that he grew up in a pastor's house, he knows and has been exposed to the kind of stuff that will make any of you leave the church. Because he's heard all kinds of criticism. He's heard people run his father down. He's seen people be mean-spirited. He's seen his father put together programs and activities and people not even want to get involved in it and shun it. He's seen him call him names. He's seen him call his dad a racist, a white man, an Indian man married to a woman, he's an Indian man married to a white woman, they call him a racist. Makes a lot of sense. He's seen all kinds of stuff. He's seen the kind of things that would make a lot of people give up on God and church, period, just because of being close enough. But he had a mom and dad that hid him in the home. And in his situation, that hiding process at home was a little bit even more important than the hiding process at church. But today he and his wife are our youth pastor. And this couple over here, she's our Sunday school director. And as much as I want each of us to come down to this altar and pray about our families today, I need us to pray for these two couples. Because every teenager that comes to church on a Wednesday night is going to hear the Word of God being taught. They're going to be taught about how to love Jesus and how to be saved. And every kid, not just these on the platform, but the untold numbers of kids that show up here for just a service sometimes. Sister April, sometimes we only get them one Sunday, don't we? Sometimes we only get one Sunday. I want our Sunday school teachers just to come up here with Sister April. We don't know if these kids have been abused at home. We don't know what they've been exposed to. Sometimes we only get one Sunday. 1 hour. And for a whole lot of them, way too many of them, and I might hurt your feelings right here, but way too many of your kids only get 52 hours a year because you don't come to church on other services besides Sunday morning. I want us to pray today. We're going to start praying. I want Brother Corm to come and Brother Moore and Brother Potts. I want them to come and begin to lay hands on April Macca and Kyle and Lorraine. And I want us to begin to pray for them right now. And as we begin to pray for them, I wonder, Brother Blue, if you would come and pray. I wonder if we would just begin to fill this altar on all sides. And maybe if it's appropriate, maybe if you're able to do it, maybe you could link up with your kids. And maybe we can take this service here to the end without even the aid of a piano and the background music in there. But maybe we could just find a place and grip our kids and say, God, help us. Maybe we could find a place. Say, God, help me to hide them. I know we don't have a piano playing right now, but that shouldn't stop you from being able to pray. Husbands and wives, why don't you take each other by the hand and begin to consecrate right now and say, we're going to pray. If you're here today and you don't have children and you're wondering where your place is in all this, I want you to know that you are not insignificant, because every time these kids come to church, they see you. You can be a ministry to them. Come on, I wonder if we just begin to pray. There's some grandparents here today that your children are old and they've moved on and you don't have children here today. I want you to pray right now. Lord, by the authority of your word and the power of Jesus' name, I pray for Kyle and Lorraine today as they help us build a hiding place for our kids. Let your anointing be upon them, God. Come on, I wonder if we just have a time of travail right now in prayer. I'm just letting you know this prayer ain't going to be over in 2 minutes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right now, Holy, touch their lives. Quit your There might be some grandparents here today that you just got to step in, because mom and dad, they ain't cutting it right now, but you need to step in prayer, in travail, and cry out to God with a loud voice. Come on, call on God right now.
Lord, I pray for your anointing, the King God of heaven. Lord, if you lead us out,
come on, church, I don't want you to stop praying right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're in here today and you've made horrible mistakes and your children are even aware of it, you've made mistakes, you failed and given up, I've come to preach to you right now. It's not time to quit. It's not time to throw in the towel. God can still use you to bless your family. God can still anoint you. God can still speak to you. God can still use you. Hallelujah. I want you to cry out to God with everything that's within you right now. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
God, the Holy Ghost.
I know we've prayed past the point where many people give up, but we need to pray just a little longer right now. I know some are going to have to start leaving because we got another church service in Wadesboro. But let's take a few moments longer right now. Let's cover these children in prayer right now. If you're lost today, if you don't know the Lord, I want you to come down to this altar right now. You can repent and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptize in Jesus' name and God can do a work in your family. Your future can be changed. Your legacy can be affected right now. Give yourself to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't somebody just begin to clap your hands and call out to the Lord right now? How many feel the Holy Ghost right now? Hallelujah. Now, in closing today, I want to be very clear. If your children are lost right now, if the Lord hadn't come back, there is hope. They may have not given up, or they may have given up, but you don't have to give up. There's still a chance for their soul. Can you say amen to that? And for many of you, you might have children that are not serving God right now, but they have children, which means you have grandchildren, that you have an influence in their life. And I want to tell you, if you get an hour a week, if that's all you get, if you get 1 weekend a month, if that's all you get, you bring those kids to the presence of God. Bring those grandbabies to the presence of God. And whatever time you get, you speak the name of the Lord over them. You plead the blood of Jesus over them. You impress upon them an influence of the Word of God. You can do this. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're going to be faithful to sports practices, if you're going to be faithful to football practice and band practice, and you're not going to miss a game, you're not going to miss a rehearsal. If you're going to be faithful to those things, then by all means, be faithful to the house of God. If your kids are going to play baseball this summer, let them play baseball. But you know what you do? You tell them, you're not going to miss church or play baseball. If practice is on Wednesday night, we're either going to be late for practice or we're leaving early, but we're not missing church. And if you can't play on the team, if you can't be at practice, then you don't practice and you don't play. Can somebody say amen to that? Now, I know that's tough because the world we live in don't want to hear none of that. But I'm telling you, if you'll be faithful to the things of this world and you'll be faithful to recreation, you need to be faithful to the house of God. Because the chances of them making $100 million over the next 5 years in the NBA are very slim. But you got a whole lot greater chance to get them into heaven, and they'll walk on that money. They'll walk on what you're idolizing right now. I'm preaching to you today. Make God first. Build the hiding place. You can do this. I'm not preaching condemnation today. I'm preaching hope to every mother and every father and every grandparent, every aunt and uncle. I'm preaching to you, Brother Bland. You can do this. You can build the hiding place in your home. Can somebody just love the Lord and magnify Him together right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's magnify the name of the Lord. If you're here today because mom and dad built a hiding place, why don't you shout to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We don't have any additional announcements, but please come and be a part of this service tonight. It's not every time, not very often you get a chance to hear a Navy SEAL who's a preacher. So I'm sure it's going to be at the very least quite interesting. Going to be a good time. Come and be a part of this service. Let God bless you. Prayer at 6 o'clock. Service at 6:30. Let's come and be blessed. Can we all say amen? Amen? Men, if you're going on the camping trip, we need you to sign up today. I know the sign-up was in the fellowship hall on the board yesterday. It may be back in the foyer today. It's going to be in one of those two places. Please sign up for the camping trip. We want you to go. It's going to be a great time. God bless you. Let's give the Lord one more round of applause as we're dismissed in Jesus' name.